to read, and you did a good job. Good job. All those names, I said, well, you should just say Chicago and Philadelphia, and because we don't know where most of those are. Today, at the end of my talk, I'm going to tell you a secret and tell you your distinction as a Christian. So for those of you that fall asleep during the sermon, you'll have to ask somebody what I told is your distinction as a believer. But hold on until the very end, and you're going to find out, because it's very, very special, and probably most of you are not aware of it. Okay? This is a great story. It's a great story, in spite of these names of the cities. What a great story. Last night, I couldn't sleep, and I started visualizing this story and how it could be actually put into a movie or something, because it was such a thing. I could picture Paul getting on a private jet and going to Macedonia, and then getting on a helicopter and going down to the beach and finding these women who were praying. And you know, I don't know, I had all kinds of crazy dreams. But anyway, that's the way it went. We're going to be talking for the next couple weeks about joy. About joy. The joy-filled believer. Are you one who is filled with joy? And many people confuse joy and happiness. You can be happy and not necessarily be joyful. And you could be unhappy and you could be joyful. You see? Two different words. There's a great difference between happiness and joy. So I hope in the next several weeks, as we look at the subject of joy, that we'll be able to distinguish between happiness and joy, and be able to understand what it means for each of us. This book of Philippians, which we only read two verses this morning, is an incredibly encouraging book. It's a good book to read. Many times people ask me, what book would you suggest I read in the Bible? And it depends on where you are in your spiritual walk, where I tell you. But one of the best books to read is Philippians. It's an upbeat book, and it talks about joy and how the believer should walk. It's extremely positive, and there's some incredible verses contained in this book that should be in our memory bank or our rainy day file. For instance, put them up here for me, will you? There we go. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. We'll talk about that next week. What an incredible verse for us to remember. The next one. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That'd be a verse that we hang on to, especially when we're going through tough times. The next one. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. What incredible verses these are for us. And we ought to hold them in our memory bank and pull them up in times when we really need some encouragement. So, this letter of Philippians was written by Paul, but he was in Rome. And he was being held in house arrest. And he was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. And he probably dictated the letter, because if he's chained, it would have made it difficult for him to write. So he dictated the letter, and which meant everybody around would hear everything he's writing. I guess you would call that jailhouse evangelism. But that's the way Paul handled this, and that's the way he wrote this letter. And it's fascinating, in spite of Paul's situation, that he's so joyful. He obviously was not happy to be under house arrest. He'd just as soon be out there sharing the good news of Christ. But instead, God had other plans for him. And God had him chained to this guard 24 hours a day. And he was sharing the gospel in a completely different way than he had anticipated. It's an amazing story. And it's amazing how Paul was used here to write these people. So, Paul writes this with great affection, as I will tell you in a little while. He writes the book as a friend of friends, not as a preacher to a congregation, not as an apostle to people that he's visited, but a book from friend to friends. You catch that as you read it. There's real feeling in there from Paul to these people. So who are these people? Who are these people who lived in Philippi? Well, the history of the Philippi goes way back to the Phoenicians. And when Paul visited the city, it was a Roman colony in what was then called Macedonia. In Philippi today, it's a Greek city called Kavala. So Paul and Silas visited Philippi in about 52 AD. And it's recorded in this big passage that Yuski read for us this morning from Acts chapter 16. It wasn't their plan to go there. They didn't want to go there. They wanted to go elsewhere. It was not their first choice of where they wanted to go and preach the gospel. You know, they wanted to go to Chicago, and God said, no, I want you to go to Philadelphia or somebody. No, God had another plan for them. And so Paul and his people, they wanted to go to Asia. Then they wanted to go to Bithynia. And somehow it said the Spirit blocked them. How the Spirit blocked them, I don't know. Probably some opportunity that was there for them just folded and it didn't happen. But it said they were blocked. And I could tell you instances in my life where God has done that, where he's just put up a roadblock for you, for me. So Paul is waiting to find out where God is going to send him because he's already blocked these two ways. And he has a dream or he has a vision of a man from Macedonia. And he says to him, Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. Come over to Macedonia and help us. And immediately, the scripture says, Paul and Silas realized this was God's plan for them. Therefore, they set off for Macedonia, the capital city of Philippi. The message this morning, in a way, is saying to us, God has specific plans for us. Remember a couple weeks ago, I was using that 139th Psalm, and I said to you, God knew all of our days before there was yet one. God had a plan for your life before you were born. With God, there are no surprises. God doesn't sit in the heavens, scratch his head, by golly, I didn't think Jack would end up working with those Taiwanese people. God knew all of our life. He knew every day before there was yet one. He called us in Christ Jesus, Paul writes in the Ephesians, before he said, let there be light. So God had a specific plan, and God had a specific plan for Paul and his people. So, let's look at this story. Paul and his people, and Silas, they go to Macedonia and to this big city, Philippi. And it becomes a Sabbath day. And so they're going to seek out a place where they can worship and where they can pray. So they go down by the river, and they find a group of women who are gathered there. And there's a very influential, quite wealthy woman there. It says she was a dealer of purple. Her name was Lydia. Linda, according to Yuski. That's all right, Yuski. It was close. And she was a godly woman. She was a godly woman. She was old, but she was only Old Testament. She didn't know about the good news of Christ. And so Paul shared the good news of Jesus who came as the Messiah. And it said she responded. And she was baptized and her entire household. And she was so gracious, she wanted them all to come to her home. That's scene number one. Scene number two. Paul and Silas are walking in the street and going towards the courtyards there in Philippi. And they find this young slave girl that's going around telling, prophesying things in people's lives. In 2 years from now, you're going to be doing this. 6 months from now, you're going to do this. And you're going to marry this person and da-da-da-da-da, whatever she did. And she did this. Well, back here in the corner were these men who owned her because she was a slave. And so she would get money for telling these fortunes. And they got rich. Well, Paul and Silas observed it, but then she starts to follow them. And she starts to screech out every day, as they're walking around. She screeches out and says, tells what their mission is. And after a while, Paul gets fed up with this and this yelling, and he looks at the woman and he casts out the evil spirit that's within her. Good news for everybody but those who owned her. There went their livelihood. If this evil spirit that was within her was no longer there, she could no longer prophesy. And so they would no longer make money off of this woman. And so they were very upset by that. And so they drugged Paul and Silas, and they brought them out into the city, and in right out in the open, brought him before the magistrates, and they were stripped and they were beaten. And they were thrown into jail. And the jailer says, pay, make sure that this guy's locked up good. Make sure they're locked up good and they don't get out. So how would you feel? Well, God, you sent us here. You sent us to minister to these people. And look what's happened. That's the way probably I would feel on some of you. You know, God, you know, you. If we'd gone to Mysia, if we'd gone to some of those other places, maybe this wouldn't happen. But look, we came here, you led us here, and we did what we thought was your will, and we cast out this evil spirit, and look, now we're in prison. No. It says at midnight, they were praying, and they had a hymn sing. Can you imagine all the other guys? All the other people in prison, and they're listening to these guys singing. Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope. I don't know what they sang, but they sang hymns. And in the midst of this hymn sing, and everybody's listening, there was a huge, huge earthquake. And it shook so much, it shook all of the chains that were on these people, shook them off. And the jailer realized he had been charged to keep these men. He had been charged, you guard these people. Don't let them get loose. And he goes and he pulls his sword out because he sees all the doors are open. He sees that the prisoners, they're free. They're not being held on. And he takes his sword and he's about to kill himself. And Paul says, wait. We're here. We didn't leave. And he asks maybe life's most important question. He's so overwhelmed. He doesn't know what else to do. And he says, what can I do to be saved? What can I do to be saved? He was so impressed. He'd been listening to these people who had been beaten, who had been embarrassed, who had been stripped, who were locked up just because they cast out a demon. And he'd watched these people, and here they are singing praises to God at midnight. And they could have left. I don't know about you, but if I'd been set free, I may have headed for the front door, headed for someplace. Maybe over to Lydia's house or someplace. But here they are. And he said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. And the jailer was so moved, he took them to his home. You believe this? This is the guy, remember, he's charged to watch these people. He's so impressed. He took him to his home. He gave him a meal. He washed their wounds. And he and every member of his family were baptized. It says the whole family was filled with joy because they'd come to believe in God and were baptized. And the next day, word comes out. The jailer says, the magistrate said, you guys are free to leave now. And after some continuous negotiation, Paul says, no, they're not. They're not going to. They arrested us in public. They're not going to let us go in private. And they have to do it publicly. And finally, they were set free. And they went on and continued to evangelize. So now, that's the story. Philippi. Now it's about 10 or 12 years later. And here's Paul writing to them from Rome. And this bond of friendship had developed. These people had supported Paul. They sent money to Paul. They prayed for Paul. They even sent someone to help him along the way. And these people loved Paul. It was very obvious that God knew what God was doing when he sent Paul and Silas to Philippi. And this relationship developed that there was such a closeness between them. And so he's writing this letter. He had a real definite purpose for writing this letter. Number one, it was just, you with me in the back? I think he's asleep. It was a letter of thanks and thanksgiving for their support. And secondly, it was a letter of encouragement. Encouragement of what they were going through as a believer. And then it was a letter to say, pull together. Pull together and maintain your unity as believers in Christ Jesus. You know, we're only as strong as our weakest link. As a congregation, we are. As a congregation, we need to pull together. We may have differences in our theology. We may have differences in different things, the way we think. But as a congregation, we are one in Christ Jesus, and we're to pull together. And so the theme kind of appears that we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. Rejoice in the Lord. So this is this loving, upbeat letter. And Paul in prison tells these people, be joyful. So listen to the words that Yuski read for us from Paul and from Timothy. Slaves of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear those words? These are the introductory words of the book. Paul and Timothy, slaves. We've talked about the young girl who was a slave, who was bought and was used. And Paul and Timothy say, we are slaves to Christ, who gave his life, who bought us with his, by giving of his life. We are committed to him. We have given our life to him. And then, you ready for this? You ready for this? You ready? Calvin, would you stand up? I want to introduce you to someone that you have not met before. Nemo, stand up. Stand up, please.
Thank you.
Ruth, would you stand up? I want you to meet St. Calvin. St. Calvin. Saint Nemo, Saint Ruth, Saint Yuski, Saint Lawrence, Saint Irma, Saint Pei, you may be seated. He calls them saints. Have you ever thought that you are a saint? You know, we know how the Roman Catholic Church, they have this ritual, how, you know, they make Mother Teresa or Pope John Paul III, whatever. They made them saints. But Paul calls these people, you are saints. You are saints because of your faith, because you've made a commitment to follow Christ, because you've committed your life to Christ, because you follow Christ, because of what you've done. You are saints. So we have St. Calvin and St. Ruth and St. Nemo and St. Pei and St. Irma, St. Lawrence. We all have, but we are very special. It means that we are people that have been set apart for God's purpose. This is an amazing story. This is an amazing story. You think of how God's plan really, when God makes a plan, it's the right plan. Let's put it that way. They wanted to go to Mysia. They wanted to go to Asia. They wanted to go there. Boy, we could have an incredible evangelistic crusade probably if we go to those cities. And somehow the Holy Spirit stopped him. They couldn't get there. It could not happen. But God sent someone in the night and said, go to Macedonia. Go to Macedonia. And when they went to Macedonia, we have incredible things happen. Lydia following Christ. The casting out of the demon in the woman. The jailer and his family all coming to the Lord. The secret for each of us is to know what God's plan for us is. And you may not always know it. Just it may not just pop. It's something that you wait for and you listen and you pray for. And God in his timing will lead you. I was very happy with my wife sitting at the Los Gatos Presbyterian Church, enjoying the preaching of a very young man who was doing a marvelous job there. And for the first time in over 50 years, being able to sit with my wife every Sunday morning. And God suddenly, through some means, put a block to that and said, I need you to go and work for 3 months. Go work for 3 months with these Taiwanese believers. They're your Philippi right now. You need to go there. And I've never doubted once I've been here God's directions. And I could tell you throughout my whole life how God has directed from here to here. From Indiana to Florida, from Florida to Oregon, and Oregon to Southern Cal to here, and from English to Indonesian to German to Korean and now to. And Ruth can tell you stories in her life as well, how God leads and directs our steps. So, saints of the Lord, I greet you. Sometimes we don't act that saintly, but that's what we are called in the scripture. So, St. Lawrence, you ready for the attitude check? Let's pray. Your word overwhelms us, Lord. This account of Paul and Silas going to Philippi just proves to us that you do have a master plan. And we praise you for that. Help each of us to learn to trust you, to know that you never direct us in the wrong way. You always lead us where you would have us to go. There are many times, Lord, when we balk and we'd prefer to go our way, and we kind of make a mess of things. But then when we take a good look and get on our knees and listen to you, you do have a plan for each of us, and we're thankful for that. Thank you for this passage. Lord, we don't understand exactly what it means that we are called saints in your word. And yet we know that we have been set apart from the world, that we are to be examples to that world of Christ, as Paul was to his world, as Lydia became an example, as the jailer became an example. You called each of us to do so. We thank you for it. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together in Christ's name. Amen. And now we'll have the offering.